I've always been a GAA person, as you know, and the GAA is very much part of where I come from in the parish of Inver, and I've had huge associations with the GAA. And unfortunately, in my time, I wasn't allowed to play football, but everybody else in the house did, and people would have known in GAA circles. My uncle Austin would have been very involved, even at county level. And I have a young fellow who still plays for St. Noel. So, you know, I've been always very much part of it, and it's part of who you are, and it's about belonging, and it's a voluntary organisation at the end of the day, which some people forget. So it's something we all enjoy, and, you know, there's fun in it, and there's enthusiasm, and there's competitiveness and enjoyment. And for a lot of people, it also provides an opportunity for people to meet up, you know, people that might be on their own, enjoy football and can have something to talk about. And, it's just very much part of who we are, and it's embedded in who we are as Irish people, as well as our language and our tradition. So that's where I've always come from, and has always been part of my life, and is very much part of my household now. So I was asked some time ago, as you probably would have heard at the convention, if I would put my name forward. And at the time I thought, look, I haven't had enough experience. I enjoyed being in the club and learning the ropes. And it was after this tumultuous year, and when the present chairman had decided to step down, of which I have to publicly thank, because he did a huge amount of work. And I'm sorry that he didn't feel he was able to continue on, but I think he can certainly hold his head up high about what he has done and achieved as chairman over a very, very difficult year. But all of that being said, I suppose a lot of people had come to me and asked me would I put my name forward. People were looking for a bit of change. Certainly, I think we're all probably guilty of this, but once we're in roads, we can stay there for a long time, or sometimes we're left too long. And, I think change is good. It's not that we know it all. And there's a great balance there now in the committee between those with experience and those who are new. And equally, I think it's important to say we're going to have five women at the top table, which is great.
We all, as you say, and you reference Fergus McGee there, he had an awful lot on his plate, because it has been a tough old year, a turbulent 12 months. To some extent, maybe that tide has already begun to turn. What else do you think that you need to achieve over your tenure at Mary?
Well, I suppose there were financial concerns, and there's debt to be dealt with. And at the end of the day, it's an organisation that must meet its legal requirements. Those have been embedded now with new governance and new methods by which there's accounting done. And we have a new auditor who has, you know, performed very well. He's only had a very short period of time. And I think the clubs are very anxious to have the openness and transparency of what is actually going on, and that they're kept informed on a regular basis. And that would be hopeful. I would be hopeful that the treasurers now will be able to put that in hand. We also, the reality is, Greg, and there's no point in sugarcoating it, as one might say, it costs a huge amount of money to run a club. It costs even more to run a county. And those costs are based on the fact that there's greater regard now for the volunteers who are our players, and the supports that they all need at all levels, at underage level and all the way through. We have a very good hurling opportunity now, I must say, in listening to what's been happening, and with Satanta going well, and hopefully they'll do equally as well at the weekend. That's tremendous to see. So we have so many young people that have to be cared for, and I think that is the biggest thing that has to be dealt with now, is that we get back into a very robust structure for our academy, and that we're working there in supporting our young people to help them develop. Not everyone is going to be a county player, but at the same time, they all should be afforded the opportunity of a little bit more intensity in their coaching and training, and give them that opportunity, if they don't make it, that they would actually lead their clubs, and the clubs need leadership as well on and off the field. And that's what is hugely, hugely important to me. So if we can work together, and I think that's, as I said last night, if everyone who is elected works to the best of their ability, and everyone who's employed would do likewise, then certainly I would hope that we would be in the headlines for the right reason as opposed to the wrong reason.
Yeah, and you talked about the academy, and the turbulent 12 months really kicked off, I suppose, with Carl Lacey's decision to quit his role as chief of Donegal's academy. You talked about the importance of GEA But it survives with the future, and there's so many competing sports out there now, soccer, rugby, whatever it might be. It's really important that there is a strong, well-organized academy there that can, you know, maximize the potential. We always have to have an eye on the future, don't we?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's hugely important, and all the clubs are trying to do the same. And I think it's very important that we in County Donegal would have a structure, a coaching structure that, you know, ties in very much and works very smoothly between your underage. A lot of clubs, even like ourselves, have very young children now starting on their skills, moving that through all the way into county. And if we can get that right, it's very obvious from other counties that that is what works very well. Now, it takes a lot of talent and it takes a lot of support. And, you know, we have the ATU now in Letterkenny, and we have Finn Valley College, who are doing a huge amount of work in the sports field and sports sciences and everything. So I would hope that the people who are attending those colleges would revert back to their own clubs and to our county and use that knowledge and use that opportunity to develop our young people and their skills base. And the other thing about the GAA, some people are kind of feel it's an alien organization. It's a very open organization, and regardless of your ability, you are welcome. And that's the ethos of our Go games. That's the ethos of our underage, and people can play a part in their club in any way and take enjoyment out of it. And I would be asking that we would see a greater increase in their membership within the county, and also our volunteers. And you're quite right in saying that there are other sports, and sport is great. Sport is so, so good for people. It's so good for their mental health. It's so good for everything, their socialization. And we also have to include, and we do that in a lot of clubs, those who perhaps don't have the physicality that is necessary, but can still participate. And that is the ethos of the GAA. It is about a sense of belonging, a belonging to a club or a parish or whatever, and that there are opportunities for everyone within the organisation. And off the field, you have SCORE, which is hugely important. We also would need to look at handball, a fantastic skill that has, you know, there's only a few clubs that provide handball now. You know, all of these games, rounders, for example, you know, that all includes people. We have our mothers and others, you have dads and lads. So that is that inclusiveness and an openness to all of the community. And any type of sport, I'm not here, anybody who participates in any type of sport is hugely, hugely beneficial to the athleticism and the mental health of our people.
Yeah, and of course, even people who don't play any form of GEA often benefit from the infrastructure in a community that the GEA provides as well.
It's a reason to go to a game. It's a reason to go to a game. You become interested. You meet people. You know, you get a cup of tea. You have something to talk about. People who might be living on their own love to go, maybe a couple of people together. Sometimes they might have their tea out or they're going to a big game. It's all about a sense of belonging and looking after each other and looking after the people that are our members. And, you know, we have people from abroad as well who are a huge resource to our county. And I'm only speaking of our county, a huge resource to us. And they've done huge amounts of work all over the world. And we are a worldwide organisation, the GAA, and we see a lot of our young people, the first thing they do when they go away is they join the GAA club. They know they're welcome and they know they belong.
Yeah, for sure. Sometimes it feels like, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, sometimes it feels like some of the biggest detractors of Donegal GAA are from within the county, if you know what I mean, not necessarily from out of the county. Sometimes it can feel like you've got, you know, current or former people involved in it pulling in different directions. Do you recognise there is something there and that we all need to try and get on the same direction and be, you know, with the Donegal shirt on, so to speak, from, you know, from Bundoran to Mallin and Stranorlar to Burton Port?
Well, that's in every organisation, I might add.
No doubt about that.
They have the same problem. And like, this is not a perfect science, and people are not always happy, and people have different opinions about how things should be done. And I'm not an expert in any of this, but, you know, you just have to get to a balance. And people are entitled to say what they think, but we have to listen to what they have to say too. And you know, you'll always, I've had experience of being in political life and you've had the them and us, whatever they say in Dublin, you know, up in the headquarters, they're always giving out about the same will be about Croke Park. You know, it's but some of that is lack of communication within all of the organisations, that people don't, you know, organisations go on and sometimes you're not as informed as you should be about what's going on, or don't maybe necessarily have the same interest. But I think that's what's hugely important, that we have that line of communication, that members, are informed about what's going on and, what the development plans are, you know, for the next 5 or 6 years in the development of games. So that's in every organisation. And, you know, there are people who played football for us who didn't have the same resources and supports that our people have now, and the same for our hurlers. And they would say, oh, where are they running now? You know, we were hardy, we cycled to the game, we played a game, we went out and we milked cows. You know, you get that. Plus the fact that you have to have all of the supports and to reach the athleticism that is necessary now in order to be able to be competitive. So, you know, you have a span from there to there, and that's, you know, it's very hard to fill in that gap, but everybody has a point.
Well, look,
and at the end of the day, it's all
ahead,
about supporting people. And, and, you know, people want success. And we didn't have success at a national level for a long, long time in this county, but we still were very proud county people and very supportive of our clubs and our underage. And it's by moving it up that next step and that next step that you get up to the top level of achievement. And Ulster has always been very competitive, and that has helped us because of that competitive nature within Ulster, whereas you see in other parts, they find the lack of competitiveness has kind of almost drained them from, you know, that need within the respective counties.
And
on everybody
positive,
likes to see people doing well.
Yeah, on the positive, as you say, you know, off the pitch, you know, the ship is being steadied, turning in the right direction, the academy getting sorted on the pitch in fairness to Jim McGuinness's predecessors, you know, we could see an upward tick in terms of you know, just to, he's taking over sort of in an upward mold. That's how I feel anyway. But talking of Jim McGuinness, you know, it is there's something, even though he's back, you're in there for the first time, there's a freshness. Again, I'm not phrasing it well, but we're heading into 2024 with optimism, with
optimism,
right to be
optimistic
about what's coming down the line.
And we are hopeful and we are anxious that things will work out. But, like, we're not going to win in All-Ireland tomorrow. So we have to build on this.
What?
And
you promised you'd deliver in All-Ireland the next day, Mary Cochran.
Jim McGuinness and his team and the under-21 people and our minors and all our underage people, they are all part of a team, a thought process. I'm not going to be interfering in it, nor anybody else. Our job is to make sure that the organisation is run well and that we are in a position to support the needs and the talents of our teams. And that's exactly what we're going to do.
Right.
And there is that optimism out there. Jim and his team are very driven, but he'd have no team if he didn't have the talent. And we have to build on that talent and support the people that are going to go out and put on the jerseys for us.
Okay. Just must mention, I presume the first game that you'll be attending, it's a short wee trip down to Ballyshannon to Father Tierney Park. It's a charity game, Donegal v Roscommon, and the charity partner for that is the North West Hospice. 10 euro for adults, 5 euro for older people, students 5 euro. Tickets can be bought online. Have you any views about that hold? I'm not going to be controversial, but about the, I know you can actually pay cash. I don't think an awful lot of people realise you can pay cash for league games. The GAA centrally gave a dispensation, but they got about 50 or 60 grand back off it. No one took them up on it. But in terms of inclusivity, is there anything you can do about accessibility? So older people, yes, they can pay 5 euro for that game, but they have to get the ticket online. And I know there are some partnerships with shops, but you know, coming from a rural part of the world as well, Mary, that doesn't suit anyone. Is there anything for 2024 within your gift that we can sort of at least maybe even have one turnstile cash for games? Or is there anything you can do there? Or do you think anything needs looking at?
This is where you have the balance of governance, where you have to have accountability for people who go through the gate. And that is, as you can appreciate, hugely important. And I've heard of this now. What we do in our club is we have a tap. So you tap your card. Or the other thing, I might just now take the opportunity. Our season tickets are open. Great opportunity to buy a present for someone. There'll be club passes available, which equally would be a lovely present for someone, where you could buy all your county games. And then all you have to have is your little card. But I do appreciate there is a view and an issue out there, and we'll see what we can do to smooth it out. But I have to say that one of the governance issues was about the fact that the use of cash poses its own difficulties from an accounting point of view. But I do appreciate what you're saying. And look, we're doing as much as we can to be as inclusive. So let's take the opportunity now on Highland Radio to say to people, if you have an older person in the house, why don't you buy them a club card as a present? Which is something then they won't have to be concerned about if they want to go to a game anywhere. And also, don't forget, our under 21s are on Saturday, and Satanta are playing in Newry on Sunday as well, and a huge opportunity for them in an intermediate semi, All Ireland semi final. So there's plenty going on still, even though it's the back end of the season.
Yeah, okay. Who said split season would slow things down? All right, then. Mary Coughlin, thanks for your time. Best of luck in your new position. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much.
All right, take care. Bye bye. That's Mary Coughlin, former Taoiseach, of course, but now Donegal GEA's first female chairperson. Okay, back with more after these.